Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday. The fuck is it? March 28th, 2011. Oh my God, how is March already over? In like a lamb, out like a lion, did the fucking goat see its shadow? That's one of the great things about living in a desert. You don't have to listen to that dumb shit when it comes to February and March. You know, when you live in the desert area, I don't have to deal with that shit. What do you think's going to happen? It's been so mild in the beginning of March. Does that mean it's going to get tempestuous towards the end? I don't know there, Sharon. I don't know what's going to fucking happen. All I know is that it's going to be 70 degrees out every day for the rest of my life, provided I stay out here. Speaking of the desert, I actually visited a friend of mine, out in the desert, a buddy of mine just had a baby girl. Well, he didn't have it. His wife had it. Douche. Sorry. It's an old joke. Sorry. I'm getting settled in here. I'm getting settled in. Let me get settled into the podcast before you start rolling your fucking eyes at me in your goddamn cubicle. All right, little miss... Ooh, I'm going to get an office someday. Is that what you think that cubicle represents? Look it, they already gave me half the walls and no ceiling. I mean, where else can you go from here? Someday I'll have a door. I got news for you. All right, if you're in a cubicle right now, why don't you fucking grow a dick? That includes the ladies. Get some fucking balls. All right? Take out a quarter, and why don't you stick it in those plastic bolts that are holding the walls of your cubicle up, all right? I'm not saying take your fucking cubicle down. Why don't you just loosen them up? Add a little chaos to the day. So next time your boss comes over like that douche in that movie Office going, yeah, I'm going to need you to, yeah, when he leans on that fucker, maybe he'll fall backwards and smack his head off that all-weather carpet, you know? That has a very thin layer of padding, and then it's concrete. And then you could act like you're concerned. I don't know what happened. And as people sit there, you know, freaking out because the guy's eating his tongue at that point in the middle of a fucking seizure, you just, you know, subtly retighten the bolts. So then it looks like, hey, maybe this, you know, there's no evidence of why this guy just fell over. Maybe he has health problems, at which point his health insurance, they're going to fucking drop him. He'll then be seen as unstable by the company. And guess what? His fucking office is going to open up. All right? That's how you get a fucking office nowadays in corporate America. Okay? You think you're going to sit there with your nose to the fucking spreadsheets? You know? Doing all that actuary horseshit, trying to figure out how long the average person's prostate. I don't fuck. Whatever the fuck you guys do out there.
If you live in Nebraska and you're 400 feet from a fucking cornfield, you have an average lifespan of 67.8 years.
Nobody cares. You know what actually amazes me about that shit? That's somebody's passion. Like just sitting, like the way I love comedy, you know, the way a serial killer loves murder. There's somebody out there sitting in a cubicle just looking at figures and just seriously has a song in their heart. You know, a little bit of Christmas in their eyes as they try to figure out how long the average person in Japan is going to live now that there's radioactivity in the ocean. You know, they want to get there first to predict the death day of somebody over there. I got to admit, dude, that shit that's going on over there in Japan, I told you about that last week, but that's just fucking freaking me out. Those poor people over there, you know, and I'm telling you, considering I don't go to the Catholic Church anymore, I am going to start going to the church of fucking Ted Nugent. I'm not going to start referring to myself as Uncle Bill and feel like as though I'm rebelling against something. But I definitely think I need to secure my perimeter. Do you know my girl won't let me get a fucking water bubbler? Water bubbler? Not one of the water cooler. She just won't let me do it. She's such a fucking broad. I'm sitting there, we're watching the disaster unfolding over there in Japan. going, look at these poor people. They live on a fault line just like us. Look at the panic and fucking confusion. When you take the average person who doesn't know how to live outside and you force them to live outside, they're walking around, you know, without a laptop and a cell phone, probably for the first time, I'd say in 15 years, but that's more American. We're talking Japan here. Probably for the first time in 30 years over there, you know, with their fucking advancements. And it's just like I'm looking at them. I go, okay, number one, first thing you fucking want, you want some water. I mean, you can go 30 days without food, right? But water, you can only go 3 days. So here I am going, you know, we got a couple of fucking, you know, gallon jugs of Arrowhead. And that's not an advertisement. There's no advertisement on this podcast yet, okay? But I am subtly throwing it out there to Arrowhead. I'm going to just start mentioning products on my podcast. You know, I'm sitting here in my Craftmatic adjustable bed. Dude, he's totally whoring himself out. The fucking podcast sucks now. Well, fucking put your, you put your fucking head down on your plastic desk right now, all right? Right there, fucking Staples, shut your face. Anyways, so we got like 2 gallons of fucking water in our refrigerator, and that's it. Okay, those coolers, man, you got 5 gallon jugs. So you get 2 of those, you always have about, you know, roughly at least 5 gallons of water, anywhere all the way up to like 7 to 9. Who the fuck knows, right? Or maybe you get lucky, the earthquake hits when you got 2 full ones. And then when everybody around you is dying of fucking thirst and you're sitting in there sipping your water, you know, sipping your water, running your hands through your gold coins with your fucking 9mm between your fucking legs, you're gonna feel okay. See, that's how Americans look at a disaster. It's not let's all get together and try to fight through this. I told you last week, it's gangs in New York over here. All right? English people, before you get on your fucking high horse, if there was a fucking giant earthquake that affected all of Europe, you're gonna help the French people out? You're going to help out the Krauts? Huh? All those guys there with their wooden shoes over there in Holland? Fucking tap dancing along with a fucking cow or some shit, whatever they do over there. Smoking weed. You're not going to help out. You're not, all right? So shut your faces. Anyways. So this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about preparing yourself for a fucking disaster. All right? And what is my girl concerned about? I just don't know where we're going to put it. It just, you need to measure it first. We can't put it over there. The doggy dish is there. The doggy dish is going to float out the fucking windows. You know? No, wait. We're up on the second floor and in the hill. We're on a hill. Right? We're going to be fine. I'm further enough away from the fucking ocean. I'll tell you, if a tsunami hits me where the fuck I'm at, I don't want to live. You know what I mean? Kevin Costner, the real Kevin Costner, not even him playing his character in Waterworld, the real Kevin Costner will probably float out of the Hollywood Hills right past me. That's when I take out my 9mm and I fucking aim it right at his receding hairline. You know, I should fucking talk, right? And I just fucking blow his brains out and I take his little raft. You know, there's going to be some half-dressed hot little whore on the raft too, right? Can't have a fucking disaster movie unless there's a scantily clad whore in the middle of it. So anyways, yeah, that's what the fuck she's all about. That's what the fuck she's all about. She doesn't know where we're going to put it. And I'm sitting there going, well, you know, I could break down some of the shit in my office. And she's just like, water bubbler? Water cooler in an office that just... You know, I was watching that fat cunt who went to jail for the stock shit the other day. I can never remember her name. And, what is it? Mandy? She got that goddamn bowl cut. I know this one. I'm going to scream it. I'm going to tell you right now, later on the podcast, when I'm not thinking about it, I'm going to remember it. I can't fucking remember. I keep thinking Rhonda Shear. I know it's not that. What was the name of the chick who fucking shows you how to make a pie, but for some reason doesn't do it? She goes, this is how you make the perfect pumpkin pie. And then she calls in some immigrant to do it for her on a cooking show. Oh, I keep having it. Why do I keep thinking Madeline? She's that fucking chick from Connecticut. Self-made woman. I respect her. You know? And I feel bad for her. She was the Oswald of Wall Street. She was the patsy. She's the one who went down. They didn't get any of the bankers. They just got her. Right? You think she gets her pubes highlighted? Do you think she has that kind of money? Martha Stewart. Bam. I got it. You know you be having some money when you get your pubes dyed, baby. Y'all ready next for this next motherfucker coming to the stage? This motherfucker representing D.C.? Sorry. Had a flashback to some old shows. Anyways. Hey, speaking of survival. Okay, I drive a Prius. Hi. You know what I love about the Prius is it's not the gayest car on the road anymore. Because Nissan has come out with an all-electric car called the Leaf. Okay, I challenge you to come up with a gayer name for a car. All right, and I'm not attacking the fucking homosexuals over there. All right? As far as I can tell, there's a lot of gay guys that could kick the living shit out of me and have their way with me. So the last thing I want to do is make someone mad at me who oddly may want to fuck me. I'm just saying it's gay as in it's fucking lame, okay? And all you fucking gay people can go fuck yourselves. All right? That's what words do. They morph into other shit. Gay used to mean really happy. The gay 90s. The 1890s were known as the gay 90s. That didn't mean there was a bunch of guys out there blowing each other. Right? Just meant everybody was happy. They were happy and gay. Isn't it gay in that old Lang Syne song? The New Year song? May all acquaintance be forgotten. Never mind too bad. Okay. And let's all be gay. Right? Something like that. One of those fucking songs. Is it in the birthday song? The word gay is in something. I don't know what it is. It's a song that I hear like once a year. And I'm like, yeah, that's funny. That gay used to mean happy. Now it means you want to dive on your girlfriend's muff. Whilst you have a muff yourself. You know, isn't that kind of just greedy? You know? It's sort of the biggest loser of sexuality to be gay. You know, I have a dick. Oh, I can't. One's not enough. You selfish cunt. You got to go have another one. Jesus Christ. These fucking gluttonous gay people. See, this is why I do the podcast. I tried to do a fucking podcast last night, and it sucked. I need a good night's sleep before I do a podcast, because I was driving out from the desert, because my buddy had a, you know, his wife had a baby. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful fucking baby girl. Isn't it such a relief when you show up and the baby's gorgeous? Isn't it such a fucking relief? You know, because some of them, when they come out, obviously, they're like a little bit early or they're a little weird looking. Their fucking head hasn't fused together yet, right? And they look like an octopus, some of them, if you chopped off four of its arms. Actually, six of its arms, and then you put two legs in place of the two arms. Right, Bill, we get it. We can do basic math. Yeah, you know, he's got those little octopus heads. And you got to sit there, hey, wow, look at that. Yeah, why don't you, is there any way you can stick it back in for another couple of weeks? You know, of all the things you've attacked on your podcast, I draw the line at babies, do you? Why do you draw the line at babies, huh? Because you can feel it kicking in your womb. I'm really just being crass on this one. Who gives a shit? How far into this podcast are we? Oh, 13 minutes. Halfway through the first period. Over halfway. Speaking of that, you guys see the Bruins? Bruins made the just clinched a playoff berth by finally beating the Flyers. Every time I watch a Bruins-Flyers game, they lose. Unless it's a playoff series. And then they just win the first three and then lose the next fucking four. But that's the first time I watched a Bruins-Flyers game in a long time. And they actually won. It's a goddamn good team the Flyers have. And the fucking Rangers scare the shit out of me with Henrik Lundqvist. Motherfucker stopping everything. But I think Tim Thomas is a better goalie. And I think, well, you know something? We've oddly adjusted very well once we traded old doucheface there. And he does have a doucheface. Phil Kessel. You guys watch on the NHL Network where for some reason when they say NHL hockey, they have to have the guys do these stupid dramatic, like they're not facing the camera and then they turn around and they're all sweaty and they have this look on their face. Not happy, not sad, just sort of staring intensely. It's like, I get it. It's hockey. It's an intense sport. You know, the guy couldn't towel off before this. Is he sweating from being under the lights? Am I really supposed to believe that he just skated over to the bench and you were able to black out the entire arena and now he's staring at you? Well, some of them look cool. Some of them look intimidating. Some of them look okay. But Phil Kessel, he just looks like a douchebag. I don't understand it because he's a fucking great player. But you see his puffy, baby fat cheeks when he turns around. And he just looks like the kid that you would cross-check even if his fucking parents were standing on the side. You know, if you're playing like street hockey. Then you try to play it off. Oh, I'm sorry. And as he cried, it would make you have a nice feeling right in your heart, you know? Am I the only psycho like that? Wasn't there always one kid in your neighborhood you just loved to see cry? You know, and was there anything better that when somebody else did it and you didn't do it, so you could actually sit there and laugh and enjoy the kid crying and you didn't have to run away when his parents came running out of the house? Does that scenario even exist anymore with you fucking, this new generation of fucking cunts out there? Who spent their entire childhood inside on the internet and playing fucking video games. You missed out. You missed out. Back in the day when you used to play outside, there was always one kid. And he was fat or he was fucking weird looking. So what you did was you picked on him. Unless he was funny. He realized, okay, I gotta be funny. You know, kind of like me. When I was a kid, I looked like Opie. With a little bit of Ralph Mouth. And I realized it. I'm like, wow, I'm the only one who has this fucking hair color in my neighborhood. I look like a fucking freak. I better start fucking coming with the jokes here. I did. That's what I did. I used to go outside in a little tuxedo. And I would just start, hey, interesting thing happened to me in the middle of getting potty trained or whatever. I would have jokes. Because, yeah, I used to get the shit kicked out of me. What do you think, that kick of ginger days is something new? Think we always haven't been picked on? Anyways, what the fuck am I talking about here? Oh, that's something that I've gotten a lot lately from people. People think I don't understand the internet, which I think is absolutely hilarious. Like there's something to get. It is what it is. You know what I mean? It's like, how don't I get it? Huh? Because I call you out when you do dumb shit, you know? I was on the Joe Rogan podcast, this past week, and fucking amazing podcast. I go there, and Joe's like, dude, you know, whatever time you want to come over, blah, 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 blah. And I said, all right, why don't we say 12 noon? Because I don't want to get stuck in rush hour. Basically, how it works out here in LA is you got to schedule everything between 10 and 2 in the afternoon. Anytime I have a meeting, when do you want to meet? Between 10 and 2. All right? Buddy of mine. Al Madrigal, hilarious comedian. Definitely check him out. Al Madrigal, he's the one who he told me to do that. So I go between 10 and 2. Now, I'm not going to go there at 10 in the fucking morning. I said, all right, I'll go there at 12 noon. So I'll do 12 noon. I'll get out of there at 2:30. I'll avoid rush hour traffic, right? And his fucking podcast is so much fun. I think we did like a 3.5-4 hour fucking podcast. You know, it took us like a half an hour to settle in. So we started at 12:30, you know? He gave me this coconut water that was so fucking delicious. I actually came home and immediately went on to Amazon and ordered a fucking case of it. 12-pack is what I got. You know, alligator armed it. Not because I didn't want to get a case. I just wouldn't want to deal with my girlfriend going, first a water cooler and now a case of coconut water? Where are we going to put the cereal? I didn't want to deal with that. So I only got the fucking 12-pack. All right. So anyways. We start the podcast, and we just have a great time. Fucking went through the whole thing. I definitely suggest you listen to it. I, of course, don't have the link because I'm an asshole. But just look up Joe Rogan podcast. He gets like 250,000 hits a week. So you'll definitely be able to hear it. But in the end of the podcast, I got in this huge fucking argument with his male assistant. Tech guy. Whatever the fuck you call him. The guy who sits there and, you know, is constantly adjusting knobs on the mixer. We got in this stupid fucking argument about whether or not someone had the right to take my podcast, put it on a website that had advertising on it. And I basically said, they didn't. I put my podcast out there. It is free, but it's still my intellectual property. I give it away for free, so you take it for free. You can't take it and then start making money off it. And there was a website that was had all these podcasts, and they got them all on one website. Hence, a ton of people went to the website. Why? Because of the creation of the artists. Their intellectual property was getting hits. No one was going to the website to look at the fucking website with nothing on it. They were going there to listen to the podcast. And on their homepage, they had advertising. So all these podcasts were getting eyeballs to go to the fucking website. All right? And they go there and they read advertising. And that's how you sell advertising, by the amount of fucking people you get to your website. So how you're supposed to do that, you're supposed to contact the artist or the owner of the work and say, listen, we want to use this shit. We're going to be selling advertising. All right. We'll take our cut. You take your cut. That's fine. That's what the fuck you're supposed to do. You can't just take it and put it on your site and start making money off of it. And for some reason, he was saying it was my fault because technology existed for them to do that. It's hilarious. He completely ignored all the laws of intellectual property, copyright laws. Fuck all that. You know? It's like, you know, if you steal somebody's car, that's Grand Theft Auto. But if you go out and you go buy one of the, what do they call those little Jimmy things, those Slim Jims, where you can unlock the door to your car, you know? If you have one of those, then, you know, it's not stealing. It's the dumbest, it was the stupidest fucking argument I've ever gotten into in my life. I'm arguing what the actual law is, and this guy is talking about technology. But technology exists for me to do something illegal, therefore it's not illegal. Was fucking retarded. And the only thing more retarded was the fact that I couldn't fucking tap out of the argument. I can't believe I never brought up, well, dude, I actually called my lawyer who went to law school and majored in, with a focus in entertainment law. And not only did he tell me I was 100% right, he actually said I could sue that website if I wanted to, which I'm not going to. But that's how right I was. Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, a laptop exists. That's legal to buy a laptop, and with the technology of a laptop and a little bit of smarts, I can break into your online bank account and take all your fucking money. Does it mean it's not illegal because laptops are legal? I don't. It was the dumbest fucking argument ever, and it lasted for 45 minutes. And of course, it got a zillion hits. Joe was telling me it got the most fucking responses. All right, and you're gonna sit there and tell me I don't get the internet? I get it. I get it. People like arguments. They like arguments and they like stealing shit and not fucking paying for stuff and then acting like they don't understand what you're talking about. It goes right back to that, all that stealing music that everybody did. Remember that shit? And all the artists got mad going, you're stealing our music. And everybody's like, we're not stealing it, man. We're sharing files. No, we were stealing it. Look what we did. We destroyed, and I say we because I was on LimeWire. I was on LimeWire for a good 8 months before someone finally was just like, dude, we're stealing music. How can we do that? And then that someone can steal your fucking comedy. This is bullshit. And I know a lot of you right now sitting there go, well, there you go. You stole music. Therefore, someone ought to be able to steal your fucking podcast and fucking average. No, two wrongs don't make a right. Okay? Just because I go out and murder somebody doesn't mean someone can come over and murder somebody I know. We're both going to get charged with murder, all right? I didn't say I was a perfect person to this, people. I think it shows what a big person I am that I can admit to some of my wrongdoings in the past. But anyways, after fucking 10 years of stealing music, look at the music business, okay? It's over. It's fucking over. Steven Tyler is on American Idol talking to people who work at a fucking Cinnabon, telling them that they have good voices and that they're going to have some sort of career in a fucking art that where the whole business model has been completely fucking destroyed. You guys haven't noticed that shit? Musicians are like in movies now. They're doing everything but singing. I saw there's a new show out where Christina Aguilera is a judge. The lead singer of Maroon 5 is a judge. Some country singer is a judge. All these guys who used to be able to sell out the Staples Center. It's the whole fucking thing. It's over. So, I don't know. Did that even make sense? I don't even know what the fuck my point was. I can't sell at the Staples Center. All right, go fuck yourselves. But I was right in that argument. And I had a great time this week because I didn't read one of the emails that was sent to me about that stupid argument. I would just see it, Joe Rogan's podcast, RSS feed, any of that shit, and I just deleted all of them, and it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So I didn't have to read them and argue with strangers who don't understand the laws. So there you go. I hope some of that – you know, I realized halfway through that is none of you – most of you probably didn't even hear the fucking argument. But you'll probably go to Joe Rogan's podcast to listen to it, won't you? See that? Look at me spreading the podcast love. All right. With that running of the fucking mouth, what do I have coming up here, people? This week I'm actually going to be where am I going to be? I'm in town this week. I'm actually working on April 2nd. Let me get the exact date here in case I screw this up. The name of the show is Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness Show. They do it at the Gibson Amphitheater. I did it last year and had, April 2nd. I had an unbelievably great time and absolutely love doing this gig because not only do I get to work with a bunch of comedians that I never get to see anymore, it's all a bunch of headliners. As far as the fucking eye can see, of course, I don't have any of the fucking names. Who the hell's on it? Patton Oswalt's on it. Jimmy Kimmel's on it. I'm on it. Kevin and Bean's on it. I forget. I can't remember. But the lineup is fucking real. I think Dana Gould might be on it. I shouldn't name names here because I don't know. It's going to be awesome. All these guys that I love watching them work are going to be on it. And on top of that, the Gibson Amphitheater used to be called the Universal Amphitheater. And that's the one where the Blues Brothers, when they recorded Briefcase Full of Blues with one of my favorite drummers of all time, Steve Jordan, that's where they did it, right there on that stage. And they were opening for Steve Martin back when he wore the white suit with the fucking arrow through his head. I'm a geek for that type of shit. Theater history. I always try to find out. And I sit there, really? Charlie Chaplin played here? Buster Keaton? Like that dumb shit, you know? So anyways, I'll be doing that on April 2nd. And then what else do I got? Oh, I'm going to be in Maryland at the Record Theater for two shows on April 8th. And then I'm going to be at the Tower Theater in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on April 9th. And then later on that month, I'm hitting two cities I haven't done stand-up ever or in a long time. Milwaukee, never been there. I'm going to be at the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, April 22nd. On April 23rd, I'll be at the Royal Oak Music Theater in Detroit, Michigan. I have not been there since I did the Chappelle Show tour with Charlie Murphy and Donnell Rawlings. And I think we did that one back in 2004, so it's been 7 years since I've been there. So please come out to that. And with that, let's get on with the podcast questions for the week. Where is it? Oh, did I not even open the fucking thing? Jesus Christ, Bill. You call yourself a radio host or a podcast host? Is that what you call me? Is that what you call yourself, Bill? All right, open. Ah, fuck. What can I talk about here? What can I talk about? Can I talk about how the Bruins raped the Montreal Canadiens 7-0? Did you guys see that fucking game? Absolutely raped them. And I got to tell you, they deserved every fucking second of that because they're still bitching about that Zdeno Chara hit. You know? He finished his fucking check. The problem was that they still have that fucking board, that piece of glass right there. That's the problem. The problem is the NHL have seen for years guys almost get their fucking heads taken off on that part of the ice. What you should do is just somehow make that thing collapsible, move it away from the ice. I don't know what the fuck to do, but there's got to be. Okay, if I can have a car that has a collapsible front end and the engine is designed to go underneath me rather than into my fucking torso, there's no way the NHL can't have that. I'll put the clip on there, by the way, on the mmpodcast.com so you guys can see that hit. I mean, it was brutal because the guy fractured one of his vertebrae. And so I felt bad about that. But then they were talking about the severity of the guy's concussion. And it turns out the fucking douche went to the movies like 3 days later with this allegedly severe concussion. Gotta love Mark Recchi for calling him out. He was actually taking heat off Chara. Just saying, yeah, you know, I think he exaggerated it. How awesome is that he did that? You know, already knowing how fucking sensitive they are up there. They're so fucking sensitive up there in Montreal. It's not like Toronto. Toronto's a fun goddamn city. Montreal, some of the most beautiful women you're ever going to see in your life. But the men are just so fucking sensitive. They actually have the police looking into that hit. Somebody, think about it. Somebody got checked into the fucking boards. Okay? And unfortunately, right where the glass starts, you know, or the glass in between the benches, you know? And they want to, like, put one of the Bruins in jail for playing hockey. You know? I'll tell you what's funny is 10 years ago, there wouldn't even been a penalty on that play. Anyways, so this is the deal. The new email, if you want to send me an email, if you want to send me more fucking emails about agreeing or disagreeing with my argument on Joe Rogan, send it to bill@themmpodcast.com. Please send me your underrated, overrated lists, your advice, if you have any questions, your stories of revenge, you know, all the shit that we've been doing throughout the years here. And speaking of overrated, underrated, I got one here for you as far as something being overrated. You know what's overrated is outlets. You know when the broads get all excited? We're going to the outlets. They got a fucking, what the hell do they shop at? They got a Jordan Marsh, a JCPenney, and a Filene's outlet. Do any of those stores still exist, or did Macy's just fucking buy up all of them? You know? Whatever the fuck they buy. You know? They got all those stores. Oh, my God. It's going to be blah, blah, blah. So you go in there as a guy going, all right, well, maybe this won't cost me as much fucking money. What, do you want a pair of shoes, sweetie? Hey, let's go to the outlet. Sounds like a fucking, you know? Sounds like a dream. Because when you really think about it, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Why is it so goddamn cheap? Why did they suddenly decide that they just didn't want to make as much money on that shirt that 7-year-old sewed together in the Philippines as they would in a mall? What is it about the outlet? You know, if you use common sense, you'd actually think, well, they're probably not marking them down as much as they think as they say they are, and it's probably a bunch of shit that nobody wanted, a bunch of shit that didn't sell well at the malls, and now they got to get fucking rid of it. Isn't that what it is? That's been my experience. You go to, they're overrated. You go to an outlet, and another thing that they like doing is they like to say that the actual retail price is about 30% more than it usually is, and then they give you a 2% discount, and you feel like you're getting like 32% off. You know, because people suck at math. They'll do Adidas shell toes, usually $126, now only $68. You know, where the fuck are they, you know, $168 or whatever, whatever the fucking number I just said. They're shell toes. There's no arch support whatsoever. It's the same fucking design that you've had for the last 40 fucking years. So there's no extra cost. You don't have to hire somebody to design a new fucking sneaker, right? It's like a goddamn Porsche. It's the same fucking design forever. So whatever. So we go there, and she goes into Prada. And I walk in, and it's still a fucking ridiculously expensive shoe. I got so fucking mad at my girl at that thing. I was telling her, saying, Listen, we're going out to the desert. My buddy had a kid. It's his first kid. I want to go out there. That's what it's supposed to be about. But you know fucking women. They can't just go out and go do stuff. They always got to get something. Yeah, if you notice that, all you young studs out there banging away, having one, even if you have a one-night stand with them, they still try to get a T-shirt out of it. Have you noticed that? Can I fit on your T-shirt? Then they just walk out with it. They're fucking weird. They're like serial killers. Like they're taking some sort of a trophy. Making a goddamn voodoo doll? Give me a, you know, one of the turning points is me as a single guy when I asked for the T-shirt back. I started doing it. Can I have my T-shirt back? And I loved it because they didn't know what to, because they were pissed that they asked for it, that I asked for it. But then they also didn't want to come off as some selfish cunt. So then they had to take it off. But the conflicting emotions on their face. Mad that you asked and then trying to play it off like they're not mad. So you can see that they're actually a good girl who will jump on your dick after knowing you for about 4.5 hours, right? So anyways, overrated outlets. All right? fucking overrated. Unless there's a bunch of stores that you like, then it's just convenient. That's the best you're going to get. You know? It's convenient. Well, at least I don't have to walk through a food court and two levels. I like that it's just one level. I do like that aspect of it. But in general, I don't see the fucking deals. It's like how, you know, do you know how like Vegas used to be mob run and now it's corporate owned? And gradually the $8 steak disappeared that you could get. Dude, you can get a steak for like $6. You can't anymore. They turned them all into buffets. It's like the $20 buffet. And then you got to go there and feel like, you know, you ate your money's worth. So you go there and eat 10 times more than you normally would have. And then you're killing yourself. You ever eat so much you start sweating? You just have such a bizarre combination. You're eating like rice and then a slice of cake, some fucking pancakes, and then a piece of fish. You know, your body's just like, dude, what the fuck? And you finish it off with like a pickle. And then you're just sitting there, right? Looking like that guy on Man vs. Food, you know, when he gets down to the final two bites. And he goes into what I call the thinker pose, you know, where he's just got his fist up against his skull. Yeah, it's the same thing. Outlets, it's the same hype that people used to say about Vegas. People finally have stopped saying the $6 steak bullshit. All right, so there you go. That's overrated, underrated for the week. Please keep sending those in, people. I love reading those things. All right, advice for this week. I'm becoming just sort of a relationship advice person. I don't know how this has happened, considering I've never been married. I don't have any kids, you know. So I don't know, you know. I'm basically the Steve DeBerg of relationships. You know, I'm somehow still in the league, still in the game, holding the clipboard, but I haven't taken a fucking snap in like 9 years. That's what I am. I'm standing on the sidelines as all you guys are getting married and having kids, just sitting here fucking wearing a headset. All right, but you guys want advice? Here we go. Okay, so I've been together with my girl for almost 4 years, got married last September in 2010. These past weeks have been hell. I'm a very honest person, so I felt lately that me and my wife have not been close. So I talked to my wife and told her how I felt. And if we continue like this, things can end up in divorce. Not things will. He stressed can. All capital. Can end up in divorce. So we talked it over and all seemed okay. Sunday the 20th, I asked her when she was coming home. This was at 10:20 p.m. She told me in the next 20 minutes. I said, okay, cool. I'll see you at home. I was driving home from a farther city, so it took me longer to get home. I get home at 12 a.m., and she is still not home. So I call her and say, please tell me if you're not going to come home on time so I know you're okay. All right, sounds like a decent guy. What does she do? She starts yelling at him, saying, I lost my place. She starts yelling at me, saying, I was helping my damn friend. Stop being an asshole. Then she hung up. Wow. She got home and yelled at me and everything, and we argued. She went to bed mad at me, and I slept on the couch. First time I've ever done that in our relationship. Well, that's par for the course. You got married in September. You go through the honeymoon phase right through the holidays, and all of a sudden Valentine's Day comes up. That's more excitement. Now you're into March. March is the real deal. Okay? If you can get along in March, that's a good benchmark, you know? There's nothing going on in March. There's no Valentine's Day. There's no holidays. Unless she has a birthday. Then it doesn't count. Hey, Bill, why don't you shut the fuck up and read the rest of the email? All right. All right, I will. All right. Next morning, she leaves for work, and I tell her, I hope you know me sleeping on the couch is not a good thing. And she goes, well, me not kissing you before I leave isn't a good thing either. Jesus. Later on Monday, she says, I am not sleeping at home tonight. I don't know if I want to be with you anymore. Jesus Christ, dude, this is like fucking going vertical here. She's in the space shuttle. It's Friday now, and all week she hasn't come home to me. She won't even tell me where she is sleeping, barely answers my texts or calls. She told me she isn't happy, I don't treat her good, she doesn't love me the way she used to. But not once did she sit me down like a civil person and tell me to change. She up and just left. Bill, please tell me if you love someone and you're married, would it be easy to just up and leave like that? Leave that person with no warning and not giving the person a chance unless she has another secret.
Oh, Jesus.
I think he's suggesting that she might have another guy. She's filing for divorce soon. Told me to keep everything. She just wants her vehicle. I'm dying inside and have been going crazy. I cannot believe she would put me through this. She said she's been thinking of this for 2 months, but never sat me down so I can work on being a better man. Wow, dude, 2 months is a long time when you've only been married since September. That's basically 20% of your marriage, I would think. So anyways, he goes on to say, she had nothing when we met. I drove her to school every day, and her parents did not care for her. I did everything for her. Why would she screw me like this?
Oh, boy. All right. So
what advice do you want here? You want me to know why she would do this? All right, let's – all right. Out of everything she said there, I know all my listeners right now are pretty much convinced that she's out fucking around on you. And, you know, who's kidding who? They definitely, I don't think, would be wrong to think that. But I think the fly in the ointment here is your description of her relationship with her parents. When you said that you drove her to school and did everything for her, yet her parents did not care for her. This is something that I noticed in my horrific dating past. If you want to get somebody stable, you have to come up with some sort of list of qualifications that they have to pass, or at least they have to pass most of them. And one of the things, if you want to get a well-adjusted female, I'm not saying that they can't come from divorce, but they have to have a good relationship with their parents. Okay? I found that to be a major red flag. If I was on a date and I found out that the person I was on a date with was not speaking to either their mother or their father, or would say, my dad's a piece of shit, or I fucking hate my mother, or we don't talk. Right there, I'm telling you, just run in the other direction, because I don't know, it just seeps into your fucking relationship and they do shit like this. Because I'm thinking, if you were doing everything, if she came from a household where her parents, people who are supposed to love her unconditionally, and they weren't doing shit for her, and then you come in there and you start doing everything for her, just out of never having that in her life, on some level, she's going to fall in love with you, even if she doesn't love you. She loves you because you're giving her what her parents never gave her. You know what I mean? But that doesn't mean that she loves you. And I think that that's – and then you combine the fact that if she had a fucked up relationship with her parents where there was no love and that type of stuff, she doesn't know what love is and can't communicate. And when she's not feeling it, she doesn't know how to get out of it like a fucking adult. Hence, she just leaves you. And then because she's been searching for love her entire fucking life, rather than just going out on her fucking own and just being alone and figuring out what she wants, it kind of seems like she already has another guy and she's just swinging to that dude, going right into another relationship. So I'll tell you this. This is what I would do. I would consider myself fucking lucky that she did it this quick, that you found out that you were married to a psycho and that she only wants her fucking car. All right? So what I would do is give her space. Don't call her. Be civil. Work the fucking thing out. Sign the divorce papers. Let her get in her fucking VW thing, whatever the fuck she drives, and let her and her baggage drive down to the goddamn street. All right? Then you fucking, I don't know, do the usual shit. Go to the gym. Cry it out. Go to the fucking gym. All right? Don't beat yourself up. Don't start drinking. Don't start becoming a fat fuck. All right? Turn this shit around. I'm telling you, I don't. Come up with some healthy fucking way to deal with this shit. And don't do the guy shit where you fucking white knuckle your way through it and booze and go bang a fat chick. Don't do that shit, all right? Fucking, you know, curl up in the fetal position, cry it out, and just tell you, keep telling yourself you're going to meet the right girl. Do that. But that one right there, dude, flush that one down the fucking toilet. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing, dude. Can you imagine if you had a kid with that fucking nightmare? And for the rest of your fucking life, or at least for the next 18 goddamn years, she's going to be in your fucking life, and you got to listen to her opinions, which would totally affect, on some level, your relationship with the next great girl that you're going to meet. Your next girl's going to be a great girl because you've been through this shit with this cunt. Trust me. All right? It's going to hurt. Just fucking deal with it. All right? Platoon, take the pain. All right? Okay, that's it. Next one. All right, Bill, me and this girl, another relationship one. Bill, me and this girl are stationed overseas in the military. England, lucky enough, due to our jobs, we see each other a couple times a week for meetings and at the gym. Here are my 47 dilemmas. There's the chance of being deployed and all of that business due to the war with Yogurt Face in Libya. The least of my worries. Oh, by the way, did you see that fucking, there was a couple of, what was it? Usher, Beyonce, and Mariah Carey actually did private New Year's gigs for a million bucks, did New Year's gigs for Gaddafi's kids. Can you fucking believe that? How much fucking money do you need to make, you know? You're going to take a gig where you're going to go dance like a goddamn fucking clown for a mass murderer's kids? And then you take that fucking blood money, stick it in your bank account, go buy yourself some fucking glitter or whatever the hell you do when you're a goddamn singer. Buy some more streamers to hang on your fucking mic stand. And then when you get busted, you try to play it off like you had no idea who Gaddafi is and what he's done. You couldn't remember that he claimed he was behind the Pan Am bombings that killed fellow Americans. The fuck is wrong with you? I love that shit where they tried to play it off like they had no idea. Okay, at the low level of entertainment that I'm at, anytime I do a private gig, they always tell you what the deal is. I don't do private gigs anymore because, as Dane Cook classically put, you feel like you're being rented. That's the greatest way to describe how you feel when you do that gig. See, if you come out to a comedy club or a theater to see my act, you get my act and I get to say whatever I want. But if you hire me to perform for your company or a private fucking Christmas party or some shit like that, like I used to do those gigs, there's always a list. This is what they do. Stay away from this. And you either comply to the list or you just don't take the gig. The last thing you do is say, no problem. Then you show up and you do your Lenny Bruce fucking set and then walk away thinking you're a badass. You're not a badass. You're just an asshole. If you were going to go in there and curse and they wanted a clean comic, you shouldn't have taken the gig. They're hiring you, private gig, right? So, but anyways, anytime I do a gig, if there's somebody in a fucking wheelchair, if there's somebody mentally handicapped, just that shit alone, they'll poke their head in the back. Hey, just to let you know, I don't know what jokes you do, but this is the situation out there. Just giving you the heads up so there's no problem. There's no fucking way their agents didn't say, hey, listen, just to let you know, you're performing for the children of a mass murderer. This is how they feel about females over there. Stay away from this. You're able to gyrate this much during songs. There was a whole fucking, it's a $1 million gig. There's no way the agent lets the artist go in there not knowing who the fuck they're performing to, risking losing their commission on a $1 million fucking gig. They're completely full of shit. They're just giving the money back because they got fucking caught. I think it's horrific, absolutely horrific. So anyways, back to the email. So we've both been here, me and this broad, for about six months. Okay, let me recap here. Up until this point, he sees this girl a couple times a week, all right? Okay, so two dilemmas. He works with the girl, and also, if he starts developing feelings at any point, he could get deployed to Libya, and she couldn't, and she might not, or they might both. And they'll be in separate parts of the country and not fucking see each other. You know what I mean? I don't fucking know. I don't even understand. How the fuck can we start a third war? We couldn't even afford one. I really don't understand it. All right, let's continue here. We've both been here about 6 months. And in that time, everyone on the base has tried to get into this chick's pants. She's a bombshell for certain. No one seems to get close, however. I come to find out she's basically got dumped when she left her last base stateside and has been cooped up in her house off base trying to keep in touch with this dude. She's rarely gone out and hasn't given dating or whatever much of a thought as far as I can wager. Meanwhile, I've been busy being miserable on my own as well as this as I had this stint with some cop chick over the winter, and that basically died. About 2 to 3 weeks ago, I start talking to this broad and spending time together regularly after work. Nothing too seriously, but apparently I can make her laugh. I'm getting the notion that she's moving on from her old relationship. Things seem to be going swimmingly. I'm just not certain I can take the multiple risks and try to make a situation out of this that wouldn't somehow end up in some sort of complete disaster. I'm technically shitting where I eat, and it's not like I can just quit this job tomorrow. I'm in the fucking military. I'm trying to avoid certain disaster, yet, however, I'm primed to be in the zone for a good-looking peace and perhaps a healthy relationship thereafter. I'm not sure how far to take this thing. I'm conflicted. I could use a laugh. Thanks for the podcast. All right, dude. These are very fucking mature concerns. This is all up to you. You got to figure out how you feel about this girl, all right, and then act accordingly. All right? If you want to fucking just bang this girl, if you figure that out, if you just want to bang this girl, just be up front and tell her that it's just a sex thing. And she either goes for it or she doesn't. All right? And if she goes for it and you bang her, and then you don't call her afterwards, or you're just still not having feelings for her, she can't get mad legitimately because you talk to her about it up front. Of course, there's always that, 18% psycho rule where she could be thinking, well, after he fucks me, he's going to realize what a great person I am, and then we'll have a relationship, I would be a little bit nervous about this girl because she's still hanging on to this other person. So I don't know if she's just wounded or if she is an actual psycho. So I will tell you this. If you just have a fuck buddy relationship with her, this is the key. All right? You have to space out the times when you bang her. All right? And when you bang her, she can never spend the night. You also can't watch a movie with her. You can't do any sort of things that indicate you have some sort of relationship beyond fucking. All right? And you have to bang her like the filthy fucking whore that she is. That's basically how you sustain a fuck buddy relationship. You fuck and you leave. And that's all you do. We are fuck buddies. We are not movie/fuck buddies. We are fuck buddies, and that is it. All right? If she calls you up and asks you to come over there and help hang a fucking picture, you don't have time. You can't fucking do it. All right? That's it. You are a dick, and that's it. Now, if you want to have a fucking relationship with her, you got to figure out if you really like this girl. At which point, if you're mature enough, you probably shouldn't try and fuck her, because that will cloud everything. Personally, I've never been able to do that, so good luck to you. Those are your two options. Fuck buddy relationship, figure out what the fuck you want to do, and then act accordingly. All right, sir? Good luck. Hey, Bill, I'm going on my 11th hour of work today. Oh, I can't read that part there. Too many names there. Okay, anyways, Bill, I was fat and in a destructive relationship for most of college. My confidence was just about ruined before I dumped the cunt. And I lost about 70 pounds. Good for you. See, this guy did the right thing. He got it for that guy with the first question. This guy here, he got out of a relationship. All right, and look what happens. He goes to the gym. He drops 70 pounds. Good for you. Since then, I've been with a lot of women and haven't had trouble meeting women. I just know how to act confident. I do have trouble finding the line between asshole aggressiveness and simply being confident. All right. Well, you're already banging a bunch of women. You've lost 70 pounds. It sounds like you're killing it. So what happened? Did you piss off a couple of women? What is your definition of asshole aggressiveness? Are you talking to them, be like, hey, baby, and just reach up and grab a titty? This is the thing about being confident. What you got to do is be confident about yourself, but don't insult the woman. I've never liked that. Like, some guys do that. What they do is they go up there, and how they get the girl to be in a weak position is they sort of say things to her that kind of makes her, like, insecure. I don't know. What is a good example of that type of stuff? Like, I don't know. You can just make some sort of comment about the clothes they're wearing or just something, or just be like, what is an example? I never did that. Not because I'm a fucking great guy, just because I have a need to be liked. So I could never go that way. Although I have found that like reacting to other hot girls walking around the club with a lot of girls will somehow, I don't know, it's this weird thing where that, like, that's sort of their competitiveness. You know, if you can just get into a conversation about them, about, you know, how hot you think some other girl is. I know this sounds fucked, but this has actually worked for me. And then you just start talking about what you like in women, what turns you on, and then you steer the conversation into sex, and then you're in there. So I would say, for me, the difference between being asshole aggressive is if I actually say something mean. I don't know. I don't think you should ever be mean to a girl to try to get her to fuck you. I just think that's like a cowardly way into it. But, you know, for you to be a cocky asshole, and if they just, if they say, if they compliment you about how you look, just be like, yeah, I know, I'm a, you know, I'm a good looking guy. I don't know what it is. Women like me. Just along those fucking lines. You just do that. As you're sort of making fun of yourself, then you show you have a sense of humor. I would try to go that fucking route. I don't know. But once again, you're talking to a guy who looks like Ralph Malph, so it probably works. You know, you guys, maybe you guys can be assholes if you actually have some sort of pigment in your hair. All right, let's plow ahead here. Bill, a friend of mine who I played in a band with for over a year in high school lost his mother to a sudden heart attack. At the memorial service, I get out of my dorky hippie Ford Fusion hybrid at the church and see a smoking hot chick climbing out of a white 2010 Ford Mustang GT with racing stripes and walks inside. Dude, that sounds like the beginning of a great fucking movie. You know, the nerd in his little douchey car, and then some hottie, you know? Was it Christy Brinkley from those fucking European Vacation movies? Anyways, it was mysterious and intriguing at the same time. Exactly. I didn't know too many people at the funeral, and I was the only guy. What? I didn't know too many people here, as I only met the guy through my younger brother and was not super close with him. Then what the fuck are you doing with the funeral? At the funeral? Jesus Christ. His mother was an artist, so after the receiving line, there was a reception with her art displayed around the room, and I was sipping coffee and looking at some of her art. This is a fucking cool-ass funeral. Looking at some of her art on the wall, I glance to my right, and there she is, standing right next to me. I lean in, and I say, I like your car. 45 minutes later, after learning she is a nurse at a local hospital and graduated from my, I learned that she was a nurse from a local hospital and graduated from my high school. Dude, is this girl like a call girl? This sounds like a fucking call girl. She just shows up in a hot car dressed like a fucking hottie. And was she wearing the nurse's outfit? Anyways, he goes on to say, I knew her family a little bit. She loves sports. Oh, love sports care. I decided to say goodbye to her and not ask for her number. I mean, it's a fucking funeral. Dude, there's no rules when it comes to getting laid, okay? I don't give a shit if you're fucking treading water after a tsunami, all right? She didn't have time to put a bra on. She's got a t-shirt on. What, you're not going to fucking, you know? Can't ask for a number at that point. Her fucking cell phone's underwater, I guess, you know. Hey, you want to form a two-person circle over here? I heard it keeps the sharks away. Sorry. Anyways, blah, blah, blah. But thanks to Facebook, I find her out. I find where the fuck she is, her name, and she has all these pictures. But she has all these pictures of her and some chunky kid, worse than the college version of me. She also has some status about a great Valentine's Day, but nothing about being in a relationship. I know this sounds like teeny bop shit, but this girl was amazing. We hit it off. And I sure don't want to fuck it up with some awkward shit. We've exchanged a few emails and stuff, but I don't know how to find out her deal without just asking. I also don't want to come on too strong and ruin the friendship fetus by creeping her out. I want to ask her to the anti-social network show that you guys are doing with Jim Norton, Jim Brewer, and Dave Attell. But I have a fear of ruining the great vibe we have with something she might not be accepting. All right, dude, what you're basically doing by sitting here being timid is you're getting yourself into that Chris Rock friend zone. You have to make a move right now. You talk to her at the fucking funeral. She talked to you for 45 minutes at a funeral. You didn't ask for the number. Right there, you should have lost the game. But because everybody gets a ribbon with this generation, there's Facebook, so you get to fucking make it up. Now she's exchanging emails with you. How many more fucking clues do you need? She has a vague sort of relationship status on her Facebook. Ask her to the fucking show. It's perfect. All right? You go into a comedy show, we'll make her laugh. You sit there laughing it up with her, accidentally put her hand on your hand on her fucking thigh, and you're in. I know it's not that easy, but dude, you need to ask her out sooner rather than fucking later. And have her go to a comedy show. I think that'd be a great idea. And that's it. All right, so ask her out. That's my advice for this fucking week, and I apologize for my horrific reading. Let me give you some YouTube videos here that'll all be up on the mmpodcast.com, the official fan website of the Monday Morning Podcast. We had 7,500 hits last week. That's the most we've ever gotten, so I want to thank everybody who's been going there. So here we go. Here's the YouTube videos for the week, and if you don't want to go up and look at them individually on YouTube, you can look at them all right in a neat little row on the mmpodcast.com. All right. For those of you who are into drugs, man, we got a great one about 1961. It's a video on mushrooms. And I can't really tell what's going on here. I think it's the beginning of ecstasy. I have no idea what, but it's just great listening to the weird music that they're playing when they describe what these mushrooms do to you. Elvis's Date Rape Blue Hawaii trailer. It's just a bunch of clips of Elvis right before he bangs a lot of chicks and some of the shit that he gets away with, just being mean and being really misogynistic. And not to mention, what's fucking hilarious is he doesn't have a shirt on in most of it because he's on the beach. And just to see what being in shape looked like back in the day, he has no abs and he has these little seventh grade arms and a little fucking chest, little chicken chest. But basically in shape back in the 50s and 60s just meant you weren't fat. I mean, you just suck in your gut a little bit. But he has the most horrific bathing suit I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know. You could basically do a 9-hour seminar at a feminist convention if they just showed this entire – just the movie trailer alone. This is a bizarre video. Is hidden camera. British cunt threatens to ruin ex's life. This guy's marriage is falling apart, and he's filming it. It's just really bizarre. If you like watching something really fucking awkward, just definitely check it out. And, here's a new one. This is what I call pre-9/11, these YouTube videos, where you just see people doing shit in public that nowadays would end with a felony and the person on TV scolding them. I know I've showed this video before, but man jumps out of stands and catches football, just in case for the new podcast listeners. On one Monday night football game, the Bears versus the Packers, somebody kicked a field goal, and as it's going through the uprights, this guy jumps out of the stands and catches it. I mean, you'd get tasered and you'd be put in jail immediately now. And not only does this guy not get tasered, he goes back to the fucking stands. He's allowed to continue watching the game. And Dan Dierdorf and Al Michaels are just laughing their fucking asses off. Think it's the greatest thing ever. And that just makes me think about, wasn't it great before 9/11 when you could have a great time and do shit like that and it was just considered all innocent fun and it didn't have to be treated like it was that. Was that Osama bin Laden who just jumped out of the fucking stands? And all right, the next YouTube video. This is one for John Bonham fans. This is a very rare video, or just one I've never seen. It's a Paul McCartney video where it's Paul McCartney and Wings and Friends. It's some horrifically awful song called the Rockestra theme. But they, you know, one of those things where they put together like an all-star cast of people to raise money, kind of like a precursor to the We Are the World thing. And they have two, three drummers, and one of them is John Bonham. Is not only is he not playing Ludwigs, he's playing this drum kit. I don't know if it's a North drum kit, or there was another drum kit out there called a Stingray. In the late 70s and early 80s, they had these this radical design on the drums where they sort of had the bottom of the drum. Looks like it's made, if you were on acid and you were looking at a drum kit, looks like it's melted and it's pointed out at the crowd. Allegedly it made your tom sound better, but it's the only time I've ever seen John Bonham not playing one of his famous Ludwig kits. And any of the drummers out there, can you please tell me what the kit is? Because I looked it up on the internet. I tried to find images of Stingray drum kits, and I saw a couple of the modern ones where they had the warped toms, but I couldn't find any of the classic ones. I looked through my old Modern Drummer ones magazines, and I couldn't find it. But if anybody knows the name of the drum kit, I'd love to know. All right, and that's it. I think that's it for this week. Yeah, that's it. A couple of movies. Somebody says to movie to avoid, Battle Los Angeles. It was like Independence Day took a shit all over the Expendables. Just didn't buy into it. Maybe it's because I've been sober for a while and I saw it with a few potheads who loved it to death, wouldn't shut the fuck up during the movie, and kept making stupid comments like, dude, we're fucked. Yeah, I mean, come on. Who goes to Battle Los Angeles and actually thinks it's going to be Chariots of Fire, which I actually thought that movie sucked. Yeah, I think you need to smoke. I mean, that's the movie. That movie is for potheads. That's one, you know, eat a fucking, you know, a little weed cookie and go see it and have a good time. See, that's right there. There you go. There's something positive about weed. It makes awful movies like Battle Los Angeles enjoyable and, like, relevant. And somebody said Lincoln Lawyer was awesome. All right, that's it. That is the podcast for this week. You guys all have a great week. Thanks for everybody who listens to the Monday Morning Podcast. If you want to hear that epic argument that I had with Red Band, you know, and yes, we are friends. We got along great. I actually did a set at Sal's Comedy Hole, and we laughed about the argument. So, you know, there's no reason to gossip anything beyond. If you just really want to listen to a great argument of two people who just don't know how to say agree to disagree, I definitely suggest listen to it. I also definitely recommend subscribing to Joe Rogan's podcast. It's fucking awesome. I had a great time on it. And that's it. That's the podcast for this week. I will see some of you at the Gibson Amphitheater on April 2nd for the Kevin and Bean comedy show that raises money for I forget what cause. I know it's a great cause because no one ever raises money for terrorists, right? I guess unless you do a comedy show in like Saudi Arabia. Isn't that what they do? You know, that's how they raise money with their filthy fucking oil money. Then they funnel it through the mosques. Isn't that how it goes down? Is that how the paper trail goes down? Do you guys read Rolling Stone magazine? You got to check it out on these two potheads who became international arms dealers. It's really interesting to watch two kids get involved in that type of shit and also to see how that game is run. And it also kind of makes you understand why certain countries really do not like other countries and kind of what's going on. It's just completely fucked. So I definitely recommend checking that out. And that's it. All right. Can I just shut the fuck up now? I'm going to shut the fuck up now. All right, you guys, have a great week. Go fuck yourselves, and I'll talk to you later.